The fire made that open, by the devil we return. Insanity or glory in a mind the devil learns. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely where to go. Kill it inside and let it burn. It's not the only.
Welcome to Implant Sight. Jeremy from Kentucky on your Monday night broadcast here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button. Send the fundage. Make your check or money order payable to RBN. Mail it to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in your debit or credit card number to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And keep free speech alive for your children and grandchildren. Taking your calls live on your Monday night drive, 512-248-8252 if you want to weigh in. And I'm going to be commenting on some recent headlines and taking your calls. We'll see how the night goes. So we got this ongoing thing in the Ukraine from the Stormer. I've got an article pulled up. Wealthy Jews flee Russia for Israel, securing ill-gotten gains. Andrew writes, it's no secret that with the help of American Jews like Larry Summers, many Russian Jews became extremely wealthy during the collapse of the Soviet Union. Some of these Jews have been arrested or exiled by Putin, but a lot of them have hung around and stank up the place. Well, now they're fleeing to Israel with all of their stolen money. Quoting the Times of Israel, 14 private jets that have taken off from Russia have landed at Ben Gurion Airport in the last 10 days, according to Channel 12. Israel continues to avoid joining Western sanctions against Russian oligarchs in the wake of Moscow's invasion of the Ukraine. Last week, Channel 12 reported that an unusual number of rented private jets have been flying from Russia to Israel since the invasion of the Ukraine, a possible indication that some wealthy Russians are looking at ways to slip around sanctions imposed to punish their country for the attack. The outlet said at least 7 private jets were chartered from a company that provides jets for hire in Europe and originated in Turkey. Tracking data showed the planes made trips from Turkey to Moscow and St. Petersburg, then from those cities to Tel Aviv. The unknown identity of the passengers and the timing of the journeys has prompted speculation that those on board were Russian oligarchs who have been slapped with sanctions over the assault on Ukraine, according to the TV report. The station speculated that some may have been using the hired private jets to avoid moving their own planes and to hide their movements as the turmoil surrounding the conflict in Ukraine continues. And we have, my comments here, heard other reports of Russian oligarchs' yachts and, you know, private conveyances seized, bank accounts seized. So I want to bring you back to the original, you know, what this is all about as far as the West. They want to try to do a regime change with Putin. Now, In the past, if you go to the Handbook of Revolution, it's always done by the bourgeoisie, by the upper managerial class. You know, in the feudal system, you know, you would call them the landowners, the dukes and whatnot, because the peasants are always disgruntled. I mean, it doesn't matter. what the situation is. So when you had the Industrial Revolution, you know, in areas like Russia, you had the peasants disgruntled because the czars and the bourgeoisie and those that had the means of production, the money, you know, they're trying to compete with industrialized nations in the West. And so to compete, they, you know, the monarchy raises taxes on the upper class, on the bourgeoisie, and they in turn raise rent, and, you know, you have a disgruntled peasant class, right? And so it just takes a foreign entity or an entity to come in and say, well, you know, we can solve this, overthrow this monarchy, and install us in power, and we'll make everything right. And that's sort of the breeding grounds for revolution. We saw this. Let's take, for example, in the French Revolution, the peasants were told that the German kings are extracting so many taxes from you, but if you overthrow them, and oh, hey, we'll fund it. We'll fund it. That's another thing. You know, the peasants cannot fund a revolution. It has to be funded from another source, from a wealthy class. And so in the case of the French Revolution, you had the Rothschilds fund the revolution, putting the Jacobins in power. And then you had the, you know, the Napoleonic Wars. So, and the peasants soon find themselves in a much worse predicament than the one that they were in. So let's apply this to Russia today. The sanctions on Russia, of course, are hurting the lower class people as they're hurting the people in America, the working class in America. You know, you got to figure that those that are very wealthy, that have money, not even the very wealthy, but even just the upper middle class that have maybe a couple of hundred thousand in reserves, they'll pay the gas prices. You know, they'll take their trips, they can conduct business and whatnot. You take the poverty class in America under these $4, $5, and $6 gas prices. You know, they often have food stamps and many other assets that the state affords them. And so they're not hurting as bad, but what really hurts is the lower to middle, middle class working white person that is hurt very much by these. And you see this in Russia. You got to figure in Russia right now, there's a lot of middle class that cannot access portions of the internet. The McDonald's is gone. Maybe they can't go on Amazon and order what they need. And they're very disgruntled. Okay. But they in and of themselves cannot foment revolution. And so the name of the game here is revolution in Russia, regime changing Putin. And so you got to hit that upper, you know, bourgeoisie class, and I think that is what has happened here. You know, with the seizing all of the world of, you know, Russian oligarchs, a lot of whom are Jewish, many of whom are Jewish, maybe not all. And so you piss these people off, and these are the people that have the power, the money, to actually foment revolution. And I think that is what the name of the game is here, is to stretch this out, to stretch this conflict out in the Ukraine, to piss off the upper, you know, working class, the wealthy class, and to get them to get rid of Putin. And that's sort of what I'm coming off with. That's sort of my talking point here and coming off with this article on wealthy Jews fleeing Russia going to Israel. You get enough of these people upset, and maybe there's a lot of Russian oligarchs on a lower status that can't go to Israel. They're not Jews, and they may be willing to do a regime change. They would be the ones that would fund it, right? Just as in the past, in every revolution, this class of people funds the revolution. They tell the peasants, you overthrow the monarch or the czar, and we'll take power and we'll treat you right. We promise. We promise we'll treat you right. Right. And so I think that's the situation here that the West is trying to do. That plus the West is desperately hoping that Russia will violate Article 5 of NATO, and that you'll get a NATO conflict with Russia, which indeed would be World War III. I don't think they want a nuclear World War III, but they do want to bring NATO into this. And so it remains to be seen, you know, how will this wealthy class, will they hold out? How they respond to this with all of their a lot of their assets being frozen, and the lower classes being disgruntled because of their lack of access to, porn, McDonald's, Instagram, Facebook, Google, all of these things have been sanctioned in Russia. So will they be able to foment a revolution? Remains to be seen, because we get so very little accurate information out of this. There's so much propaganda on all sides. We'll just have to let this play out and see what the deal is. Anyway, back to more articles and news. Sad atrocity. Belarus rejects refugees from the Middle East and forces them to go to the Ukraine. According to The Guardian, Belarusian armed forces are pushing asylum seekers from the Middle East who became trapped in the country after they were promised passage to the EU to cross the border into war-torn Ukraine. According to the testimony of people in Belarusian camps, dozens of asylum seekers stuck for months in a makeshift dormitory in a Bruzhki village in Belarus, less than a mile from the Polish border, were ordered by a group of Belarusian soldiers on the 5th of March to leave the building at gunpoint and given two options. You either cross the border into Poland, where guards have beaten them back, or you enter the Ukraine. A group of 7 border guard officers that we had never seen before entered the building and said, "A man who arrived in Belarus last autumn and whose name and nationality cannot be disclosed for security reasons. They wore military clothes, and for the first time, they entered the camp holding weapons, beating us and telling us that we had two choices, either crossing into Poland or going into the Ukraine." This according to the testimony of the said refugees from the Middle East. The EU last autumn accused Belarus's leader, Alexander Lukashenko, of deliberately provoking a refugee crisis on its eastern frontier by organizing the movement of people from the Middle East to Minsk and promising them a safe passage to the bloc. The move was seen as a reprisal for sanctions that Brussels imposed on Lukashenko's regime after his crackdown on civil society and political opponents. We covered this on Patrick and Jeremy's show months ago, how that Belarus was taking these Middle Eastern refugees and trying to push them into Poland. Belarusian authorities in November escorted thousands of people to the Polish frontier in an escalation of the crisis. Witnesses told The Guardian how Belarusian troops had gathered groups of up to 50 people and cut the barbed wire with shears to allow them to cross. Hundreds managed to evade the Polish police by hiding in the forests, but others were caught and violently pushed back to Belarus. As temperatures plummeted, Belarusian authorities began to move those who were unable to cross the frontier into Poland to a giant customs warehouse turned into a dormitory in Bruzhki. Back to the Stormer article and their commentary. It's true poetic justice. These people were attempting to exploit the laws that that allow them to flee a war zone when they were not actually fleeing a war zone. Now they're going to end up in a war zone in the Ukraine. Zelensky presumably will arm them with antiquated select fire weapons, which they will then use to loot and rape and go to war with other criminal gangs armed by Zelensky running around Kyiv. It will be funny. The clips will go viral, and then you'll realize why so many people consider Zelensky a hero. Much irony and sarcasm in that statement. So, yeah, you've got all this political turmoil, and who's to say what is to be seen from all of this? I know that the ruble has taken a dive, the Russian stock market has, and even though we're suffering here in the West with gas prices and soon to be grocery prices, there are citizens in Russia that are suffering tremendously, and the upper class wealthy people on up to the oligarchs in Russia are suffering. And so this is a game of waiting it out, trying to drag this out long enough to get the upper class in Russia to do a revolution. So far it hasn't taken place. So far these elites have just fled the country. The Jewish ones going to Israel. But how much longer will it last? And in the meantime, you have decades and decades of diplomacy just falling completely to pieces. Diplomacy between the West and Russia, as you have these ridiculous sanctions being put in place to try to harm Russia and her people. This is unsustainable. It's untenable, right? And I would certainly hope that this doesn't turn into a hot war with NATO being involved, but it seems to me that the West is willing to do this. Now, who exactly is in charge of the West? That's a good question. That's a question that's been asked multiple times. It seems like in the light of this conflict in the Ukraine, that it has brought to forbearance who has the most power. And it seems like it is Victoria Nuland, right? The Secretary of State, Secretary of State, and Anthony Blinken of Defense. It seems that these two individuals are calling a lot of the shots, and perhaps they are indeed in power and in charge. Obviously, Biden and Harris don't know what's going on. Biden because of his senility, and Harris because of her very extremely low IQ. They're not calling any shots. They hardly know what to say when you push them up in front of a bunch of microphones with a teleprompter going in front of them. They can barely get that right. Certainly, they're not in charge or calling any shots on the international theater. But I really think that Nuland and Blinken are, and that they are calling the shots here. Now, of course, Blinken and Nuland are getting, they're getting their narrative sent through emails from shadowy figures. Who they are, anybody can guess. But I think we can narrow down exactly who are calling the shots in the American government, Nuland and Blinken, back after the break with more analysis on InplainSight.
Yeah, chill me to the bone.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out the kosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Welcome back to the show. Blue and Black, a remake from the band Five Finger Death Punch, always reminds me of William from Montana. Rest in peace. Rest in the arms of Jesus, my friend. I know William from Montana spoke with me on personal phone calls multiple times, and he had given his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He passed away last year, and I know that he is at peace right now, but I covet his commentary on this Russia-Ukraine incident, as he was able to read the Russian media and cut through the red tape, cut through all the lies. So, in honor of you, William, we appreciate you. Blue on Black. So, back to more articles before we go to emails. What is the thinking behind the West collective punishment of the Russians? Exactly what are they trying to accomplish here? Going to RT, Russia Today, which is being censored very heavily recently. RT, the Russian capital has seen an anti-war protest for the second week in a row. Amid the ongoing attack in the Ukraine, the Sunday demonstration had not been agreed with authorities and ended up in numerous detentions. So this is just going right along my comments here with the narrative that I'm building of the purpose of this whole conflict. One of the main purposes is to foment revolution in Russia that could be funded by the bourgeoisie, as revolution always is, and getting the, you know, rank and file Russians to rise up and overthrow Putin. That I believe is the goal. And this RT article is just sort of backing this up. Back to the article. And so just the first paragraph, we're talking about 2 weeks in a row of Russians protesting, anti-war protests, concerning this Ukraine thing. Back to the article. In Russia Today, according to Moscow police, as cited by IRA and Interfax news agencies, around 300 protesters have been held. Those are the ones that have been arrested, by the way. The law enforcement has cited various violations of public order as the reason for the arrests. Without elaborating, authorities also did not announce the total number of those taking part in the rally. Let me break right here and just give some of my comments. You know, I mean, here in America, I mean, we take so much for granted. You know, we have the First Amendment, and the January 6th election fraud protesters, they're protected under the First Amendment, as were the Charlottesville protesters in 2017. And, you know, we have that here. We have the amendments. We have the Constitution. We had passed into republic, and our protesters were very much allowed to do so, to protest the government. But because you had FBI groups at January 6th and agents provocateur, people bashing in windows and urging normal citizens to do damage and go into the the Capitol, you know, because of that, the government was able to come down on the American protesters to the tune of about 750 political prisoners of war in the Washington gulags. So we can look at this and we can say it's a travesty. We're protected under our Constitution, under our First Amendment. But Russia has no such protections, to my knowledge. And so here you have protesters, and many of them arrested. Okay, 300 were arrested, being held. And so I'm not trying to be hypocritical and saying, well, you know, Russia good, America bad. American protesters arrested bad, Russian protesters arrested good. I'm not going there. That's like light switch brain, like nonsense. What I'm just pointing out to you is that there's a different dynamic in Russia than there is here. And so you have to keep that in context as we read this article. Okay, let's go on. Authorities had taken all the necessary measures to prevent the rally, which had not been agreed with the city authorities as required by Russian law. So there's another thing taking place here. They don't have a blanket First Amendment. These protesters were supposed to have went to the city that they were protesting in and gotten permission to protest according to Russian law. Hey, we're on the break. Let's continue to dissect this article on the other side with your emails and calls on Endpoint Side.
There's something I wanna say since you've been down. There's no one
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because
you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Memory, your lifeline is burning holes. Recover the damage, bring it all home.
Okay, welcome back to the show. In plain sight, Jeremy in Kentucky on your Monday night broadcast. We're just covering an article talking about Russians protesting the war in the Ukraine. And I was just bringing to light, to put it in context, that, you know, we have this First Amendment right here in America that we so take for granted. And yes, it's been trampled on, but a lot of us, you know, it's so ingrained in us. I mean, we know that we can do this. And in many rural areas here in America, you know, it still is a thing. You can go protest, but they don't have that in Russia. So in this particular area in Russia, you know, you had to get permission from the city and from the government to do the protest, and they didn't do that. And so the government sort of stamps down on them. It reads in the article, and what is this from? RT. This is from Russia Today. Authorities had taken all the necessary measures to prevent the rally, which had not been agreed with the city authorities as required by Russian law. There were no reports about any incidents during the protest. Some media have reported that the large police units have been deployed to Menahenza Square, just outside of the Kremlin, and that the square itself had been mostly cordoned off before the protests. Moscow wasn't the only Russian city to see protests on Sunday. In St. Petersburg, around 150 people have been detained following a similar rally in the city center, according to local media. The demonstration there was attended by a much smaller number than the previous weekend, according to journalists. So, yes, I do recognize that Putin and Xi Jinping are sort of standing as bulwarks to the global New World Order. You know, they are standing in the way of it. And it is very tempting to go and get your, you know, posters of shirtless Putin riding on a horse with a sword and Xi and post them on your wall. It's very tempting to do that. But before you go there, before you break out those shirtless posters, just understand that they do not, the core of their government, I mean, they do not, you know, have the same freedoms that we have here, or that we should have here. We actually don't have them. It's an illusion. But at one point, we did have them. You see what I'm saying? The right to protest, to peaceably assemble, there it's a little bit different. And so, going back to this whole thing of putting pressure, putting sanctions on the upper class of Russia, the bourgeoisie, to get them to fund a revolution of the peasants. That's sort of what's going on here. And you have the peasants, you know, in Russia, illegally, according to Russian law, coming together and protesting. And so you see the beginnings of this. You see what is going on here and what the goal is. From Newland and Blinken in the West, is to try to foment a revolution in Russia to overthrow Putin and to regime change him, so that some, just, you know, name X, Y, or Z puppet government could be installed in Russia by the West. That's really what they want. Now, that's a pretty big goal. And I don't know that they'll accomplish that, but they're certainly trying. They're certainly trying. And these reports from RT of regular working class people protesting, I think that's evidence of the fruits of the labor of the likes of Newland and Blinken to try to do this regime change. So we'll see. The longer that this Ukrainian thing stretches out, the more pressure is put on the Russian people and the upper class, and the more likely the chance of regime change is. So that's sort of the shot. All right. So before we go into more emails, or before we go into more headlines, I do want to address some emails. And so we've got one here from Les, and he's emailed the Patrick and Jeremy Show at yahoo.com. What happened to Keith? Keith Rogers from Perception Management. And as I talk with Mike, the board op, and quite possibly the head of RBN, I would say, you know, Mike says, you know, sometimes hosts just leave. Their schedules or their personal lives just don't allow them to do a regular broadcast. And there's no big contentious issue. There's nothing that we should be concerned about. Just the host just leaves. They just can't do it anymore. I could see a day, you know, when that would happen with myself. Let's say, for example, you know, America collapses. They go total, you know, put a chip in your body tier government, and I go and live with the Amish. Well, I wouldn't be able to do this radio show if I'm living with my Amish peeps. Now, that's an extreme example, but I'm just using that to say that, you know, people have personal things in their lives that happens. I mean, these hosts, a lot of them are very old, and maybe their health is failing. Maybe they have children and grandchildren that they want to devote their lives to. So I don't know what happened with Keith. I really don't. I know he's called into various shows before, but to address the email from Les, Keith just decided that he didn't want to go on anymore, and we're going to take it at face value until I hear something otherwise. So there's that. There's a couple more emails that I wanted to address. The next email is from Bob, and the subject of the email is Patrick nails it on Monday. Bob writes, "There is no threat of communitarianism, cultural Marxism, socialism, fascism, or communism. There is only the threat of Jewish domination and tyranny through control of information and currency. The Jew Dennis Prager has admitted that all of the ism words were created by Jews. Since their definitions are malleable and controlled by Jewish media, they mean nothing. All that matters is race and territory, whether you are a plant or a mestizo. William Pierce understood this, and that's why they took out the National Alliance and neutralized Kevin Storm, using his ex-wife to tag him as a sex offender." And that's the email from Bob, emailing the Patrick and Jeremy Show at yahoo.com. If you have any emails or questions, comments that you want us to address, please hit that email up, the Patrick and Jeremy Show at yahoo.com. I usually read them, and I forward the pertinent emails to Patrick. I have forwarded that to Patrick, Bob, and he'll get back with a response maybe, possibly tomorrow night when he comes on live, fulfilling his role of the dynamic duo. So let me just address a few things in this. There is no threat of communitarianism. Well, I understand communitarianism, maybe on a rudimentary level, but it's basically where you get the community to enforce the laws that the state cannot enforce. It's a hive mind mentality. It's what I talked about early last week on the Monday and Tuesday shows of In Plain Sight as mass formation psychosis. You see this in the COVID phenomenon. We're all in this together. Vaccines save lives. Stay home to save lives. And then you see it in the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd incidents, right? I can't breathe. Mostly peaceful protests, right? You get the global populace brainwashed into thinking in the hive mind. And you can lead them whatever direction you want to go. That, to me, is what I define communitarianism. Because in that system, the state does not have to come in and enforce. And they're not able to come in and enforce every little thing. Rather, your neighbor can enforce it. Let's say we're under the mask thing, right? Your neighbor or your employer or the school nurse could say, well, so-and-so is not wearing the mask. And they could report you to the health department. Hey, this restaurant did not shut down as they were supposed to. Let's report them to the health department. So you have ordinary citizens, ordinary people within your community enforcing these draconian laws from the state that the state is not able or willing to totally enforce. So they rely on the brainwashing of the community. That's what I would define as communitarianism. And it has a good context and it has a bad context. Let me give an example. Well, I've already given you examples of the bad context, and that is communitarianism enforcing the masks and the social distancing and the restaurant closures. Obviously, you can see how that works. Regular citizens report to the state troopers, the health department, hey, this restaurant didn't close. We're worried about public health. You need to go see about them. There you have regular citizens enforcing a state illegitimate mandate. Now, let's go to examples of how that is not necessarily bad. You go to National Socialist Germany. So under that system, under National Socialism, the state existed for the good of the race, which is diametrically opposed to communism, where the people exist for the benefit of the state, right? Under communism, under National Socialism, specifically Germany, the state existed for the benefit of the people. So if you have people in your community that are not adhering to state regulations, let's say you got a homo, let's say you got a faggot in your community, and this person is not benefiting, he's a detriment to the race, to the community. So you enforce the law of the state upon him that the state's not able to, and you expel that person from your community. You know, you stop them from being able to participate, which in your justification, in your mindset, is a good for the community. You're protecting the community, you see. That's another form of communitarianism that existed in National Socialist Germany. And more specifically, when they found Jews in their community that were being subversive, you know, they exercised the communitarian principle and brought them to the authorities. So I'm a little neutral here. I'm trying to be neutral on this, a little agnostic, and I'm not saying it's good or it's bad, but there are different contexts, right, that you can apply this in. And in that context, which I just described, homosexuality is a detriment to society. And so if you lived in a communitarianism environment where people came down on homosexuality and degeneracy and perversion, it could be a good thing. So thus making the system of communitarianism in and of itself is pretty much neutral. It depends on the country that it's implemented in and the context in which it's implemented. You know, in the context of the COVID regime, this person's not wearing a mask out in public, I'm going to turn them in. Or they're not, you know, they tested positive and I saw them at Walmart. You know, they're not quarantining. Let's turn them in. Well, that's a negative connotation, right? You know, as far as we would say. Whereas some of the National Socialist issues that, and examples that I brought forth, would not necessarily be a negative connotation. So that's just my address on communitarianism and that whole thing. It's a system that can be employed in multiple different contexts. And depending on the context would depend on whether it's moral or immoral. How do we define morality? Well, that's a great question. I mean, I define it by the word of God. How does an agnostic define morality? What is his or her standard of truth? Is there a standard of truth? Or is it just what we deem is right in our own eyes? Well, if that's the case, then you could say the LGBTQ community, who would very gladly and who prominently push pedophilia, you know, that community would say, well, in our eyes, it's right that, you know, minors can consent. If they can consent to trannyism and sex changes and, you know, taking chemicals to alter their body, taking hormones, if they can consent to that, if a 12-year-old can go against their parents' wishes and consent to mutilating their bodies through either hormone therapy or an actual sex change, if that can be done, why cannot that minor consent to sexual relations? You see the slippery slope there, right? And so you get this whole thing happening now before your eyes, where these systems can be used for the detriment or the betterment of society. We're coming up on the break. We'll take more of this on the other side, on the plain side.
Think of all the things that really matter and the chances you earn.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Okay, coming back to the show, last segment, we got Lark from Texas. So, Lark, I was sort of trying to define communitarianism and comparing it with Nazi Germany and communism and to the COVID phenomena that we see. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think of the comparisons?
Well, I have to say that I appreciate you even discussing the word, because the system that we live in today, Jeremy, is communitarianism. You know, it's a marriage of capitalism and communism. And under a system of communitarianism, they adhere to what's known as communitarian law. These are realities, and they deserve more discussion. As you know, I've been on this for a long time. I'm in my 18th year researching this topic, because I felt it was the most underreported, underappreciated topic needed for discussion that just wasn't happening. And so that's basically been the source of my activism since about 2009, and since about 2010 or so on this network. But you know, communitarianism is a system in which the people themselves have been weaponized against each other, and that's by design. It's a system in which nobody has rights, which are duties and responsibilities. And in a system of communitarianism, you know, the life scientists, the physical scientists, and the social scientists all get a seat at the table. So you have these policy wonks, these so-called experts, that define what is truth, what is morality in any given situation, whether with domestic or foreign policy. And in a system of communitarianism, nation states like America are rendered obsolete in favor of what's called the market security state. And with that, we're seeing the rise of the regionalized, data-driven city-state. And so, yeah, I would welcome the opportunity to discuss this with you privately. Board Ops got my number. And otherwise, with anybody that wants to talk about the subject, because it really needs to be talked about. And that's why I called, it's because I was just delighted to hear you even attempt to answer the question of what it is, because it takes a brave soul nowadays to even discuss it, because you don't hear about it on your TV. You don't read about it in your newspaper. Nobody's talking about it at the water cooler at work or down at the pub. And the reason is because the word has been deliberately kept away from us. We hear instead the language associated with what I call communitarian code speak or buzzwords. We think these words mean one thing, but they fly right over our heads because we think that they're harmless, innocuous sounding, but they have specific meanings with the people who are uttering or writing these words according to the discipline or area of human endeavor, the occupations in which they're employed. And this is especially true in with think tanks, big media circles, and you see it in the public schools and education policy circles, even in the universities, medical schools, law schools. And it is a threat. If anybody wants to do a search on the internet, just do a search. Communitarianism, tyranny with a smiling face, with a smiley face. Communitarianism, tyranny with a smiling face, or just do a search on RBN at their website, republicbroadcasting.org. Or the word either communitarian or LARK, L-A-R-K. And so anyway, I just called because I was just delighted to hear you even talk about this word, because I like you and I respect you, and I think your listeners do too.
Hey, LARK, maybe we could do a Thursday night show with William Repellum. Mike has your number, and I'll give you a shout. And maybe we could set that up to further explore this, because I think there's much there to be discovered. Thanks a lot for the call. We are at the end of the show. Be back tomorrow night.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.